And I'm playing you the pop music you love on VOA1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, you will hear stories from Katie Weaver and Brian Lynn. Jill Robbins presents this week's Education Report. We close the show with the Lesson of the Day from Jill Robbins and Andrew Smith. But first, Katie Weaver has this report on the history of Juneteenth.
Today is Juneteenth in the United States. The holiday is over 150 years old, but it is still unknown to many people. It marks the end of official slavery in the country and celebrates the promise of freedom. The word Juneteenth combines the month June with the number 19. It recalls June 19, 1865, the day troops from the Union side of the American Civil War arrived in the city of Galveston, Texas. At that time, Texas was part of the Confederate States of America, the group of southern states fighting the Union for the right to keep slaves. The 250,000 enslaved people in Texas did not know that the president at the time, Abraham Lincoln, had declared them legally free. In fact, Lincoln had declared them legally free more than 2 years earlier, on January 1, 1863. But Texas was in the far west of the country and removed from much of the fighting. Few Union soldiers were there to communicate or enforce Lincoln's order. Confederate slaveholders did not agree with it. They did not want to lose the labor they got for free. So no one told the enslaved people until June 19th, when a Union general and a few thousand soldiers arrived to take control of the area. The general quickly read an announcement. He informed the people that the Union had won the Civil War and that all slaves are free. Many formerly enslaved people immediately began to celebrate. As soon as they could, some left Texas and joined family members in other states. Some remained and built new lives. They remembered June 19th in the years that followed. In time, their children and grandchildren celebrated it as a holiday, too. Historically, Juneteenth has involved cooking and eating outdoors, listening to music, saying prayers, and wearing nice clothes. Betty Anderson, who is a descendant of enslaved people, spoke to the Federalist magazine about her Juneteenth traditions. She said the day includes stories about people who continued to fight for equal rights because freedom from slavery did not bring freedom for the African American. Historian Henry Louis Gates Jr. made a similar point in the online magazine The Root. He said one of the most important things about Juneteenth is that it is a positive, powerful celebration, even in the face of discrimination. For example, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, Texas officials refused to permit Black people to gather in public spaces. So Black families and friends celebrated Juneteenth near rivers and lakes, Gates said. In time, they bought their own parks where they could celebrate. During the country's civil rights movement of the 1950s and 1960s, some Black Americans and activists embraced Juneteenth as a way to connect them to Black history. Texas became the first state to declare the day an official state holiday in 1980. In June 2021, U.S. President Joe Biden declared Juneteenth as the country's newest national holiday. Biden said it was a day to remember the moral stain and terrible toll of slavery on our country. He added, "But it is a day that also reminds us of our incredible capacity to heal, hope, and emerge from our darkest moments with purpose and resolve." Last year, at least 28 American states and the city government of Washington, D.C., recognized Juneteenth as a public holiday, a Pew Research Center study said. On the history of Juneteenth, the National Museum of African American History and Culture wrote that although the event remains largely unknown to most Americans, it is considered the country's second Independence Day by Black Americans. The historical legacy of Juneteenth shows the value of never giving up hope in uncertain times, it said. I'm Katie Weaver.
A new study suggests that people infected with COVID-19 in the past may receive protection against some kinds of common colds. COVID-19 is one of several coronaviruses known to affect humans. The new research found that past COVID-19 infections can lower the risk of getting colds caused by other coronaviruses. Studies have shown coronaviruses account for about 1 in 5 colds. Researchers involved in the study say their results could support future efforts to improve COVID-19 vaccines or develop new ones. The study examined COVID-19 tests from more than 4,900 people who sought medical care between November 2020 and October 2021. It showed that people previously infected with COVID-19 had a 50% lower chance of having a coronavirus-caused cold than those who were fully vaccinated and had not gotten COVID-19. The research recently appeared in the publication Science Translational Medicine. The lead writer of the study was Dr. Manish Sagar. He is an infectious disease specialist at Boston Medical Center and a professor at Boston University in Massachusetts. Sagar told the Associated Press, "We think there's going to be a future outbreak of a coronavirus." He said current coronavirus vaccines might be improved if researchers could copy some of the immune reactions provided by natural infection. Researchers linked the protection against coronavirus-caused colds to virus-killing cell reactions for two viral proteins. These proteins are not currently used in most vaccines, but the researchers have proposed adding them in the future. Sager said this development may lead to future vaccines that could target not only current coronaviruses, but also new ones that might appear. Dr. Wesley Long is a pathologist at Houston Methodist in Texas. He was not involved in the study. Long noted that the findings should not be seen as a weakness of current vaccines. These vaccines target a so-called spike protein contained in the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19. Long said those vaccines are still your best defense against severe COVID-19 infection, hospitalization, and death. But Long added that new targets could be added to existing vaccines in an effort to cross-protect against multiple viruses. This process, he said, could result in wider immunity from a single vaccine. I'm Brian Lynn.
The United Nations Children's Agency recently noted that 1,000 days have passed since Afghan officials banned girls from attending secondary schools. Catherine Russell is the executive director of UNICEF. On June 13th, Russell said, "No country can move forward when half its population is left behind." In a statement, Russell urged Taliban officials to permit all children to restart learning immediately. She also called on the international community to support Afghan girls, who she said need it more than ever. The agency estimates that more than 1 million girls are affected. The UN has warned that the ban on girls' education remains the Taliban's biggest barrier to gaining recognition as the lawful rulers of Afghanistan. The Taliban took over Afghanistan following the withdrawal of U.S. and NATO forces in 2021. The group has said that educating girls goes against its strict interpretation of Islamic law. Although it has promised a more moderate rule, the Taliban has also barred women from higher education, most jobs, and even public spaces like parks. When the Taliban ruled Afghanistan in the 1990s, they also banned girls' education. The Taliban has barred girls from attending classes beyond sixth grade. It is the only country in the world with such restrictions on female education. The Taliban shut down girls' secondary schools in 2022. The group gave religious and cultural concerns as the reasons. The Taliban officials said they were working to create a correct educational environment for older female students. The new school year started in March with girls barred from attending classes beyond the sixth grade. Female journalists were not permitted to attend the opening ceremony. An Afghan education official told VOA at the time that the ruling Taliban group might permanently close girls' secondary schools. The official said the Taliban is instead supporting religious schools known as madrasas. Schools may never be reopened the way they were under the occupation, an official at Afghanistan's education ministry told VOA. The official was referring to 2001 to 2021, when the U.S. military was in the country. Last week, UNICEF's executive director called the systematic exclusion of girls a violation of their right to education. She added, it also resulted in decreasing opportunities for girls and affected their mental health. She said UNICEF has worked with partners to run community-based education classes for 600,000 children, two-thirds of them girls, and trained teachers in Afghanistan. Although Afghan boys have access to education, Human Rights Watch has said the Taliban's abusive educational policies are harming them. In a report published in December, the group said the departure of qualified teachers, changes in curriculum, and an increase in physical or corporal punishment have led to greater fear of going to school and falling attendance. Also on Thursday, a spokesperson for the UN Human Rights Office said the Taliban has told female public civil servants that their pay would be cut to the lowest level, regardless of their experience or qualifications. The group had already banned females from working. Volker Türk is the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. The spokesperson said he urged the group to withdraw laws, orders, and all other measures that discriminated against women and girls in violation of the country's human rights obligations. Nobody from the Taliban was immediately available for comment. I'm Jill Robbins.
That was Jill Robbins with this week's Education Report. She joins me now to talk a bit more about the story. Hi, Jill. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
I was hoping that you could explain one of the words we heard in your report, exclusion.
I think exclusion is the most important word for this story. Exclusion is the noun form of exclude, which means to prevent someone from doing something or being part of a group.
And the adjective form of the word is exclusionary. How might we use that in a sentence?
You are right. We could say the United Nations is asking the Taliban to end their exclusionary policies.
All right. Thanks for joining me today, Jill, and thanks for those helpful explanations.
My pleasure, Ashley. Thanks for having me.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our video series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
As the series progresses, the English you hear gradually becomes more advanced. You will hear Anna and the other people in the video begin to speak a little faster, use more variety of verb tenses, and use more idiomatic expressions.
So today, we're going to look at the language in Lesson 47 of the series. You will hear the way English speakers pronounce some words when they speak more quickly, and we will explain some idiomatic expressions as well.
Lesson 47 is called How Can I Help? Anna sees that her friend Pete needs help fixing his car.
Hi, Pete. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Anna. Right now, I am fixing my car.
How's it going?
It's going not so good.
How can I help? I was planning to visit some friends, but if you need help, I can help. I like helping.
Anna, I can fix it myself. But thanks.
If you listen to Anna carefully, you can hear some examples of her pronouncing words quickly. And as we have explained in other lessons of the day, when people speak faster, words connect together quickly, and some vowel sounds get changed or reduced. Listen to this sentence again.
How can I help? I was planning to visit some friends, but if you need help, I can help. I like helping.
The two small words, can I, sound like one word with two syllables, can I. And instead of saying to visit, the vowel in the word to gets changed to a schwa, which sounds like a. So the word sounds like this, to visit.
And with the two words, but if, we don't really pronounce the letter T in the word but. Instead, it sounds almost like the letter D and connects to the word if, like this. But if. But if. But if. Now listen to Anna again and see if you can hear these examples we just explained.
How can I help? I was planning to visit some friends, but if you need help, I can help. I like helping.
Now let's listen to more of Lesson 47. See if you can hear when Anna uses a contraction of the modal will. For example, instead of saying I will, she says I'll.
Pete, I think I found your problem. These are spark plugs. They start the engine.
I know that, Anna, but there were too many spark plugs in there, so I took out the extra ones.
There are no extras, Pete. You need all of them. Pete, can you fix a car yourself?
Well, Anna, last night I was watching the online video course, You Can Fix a Car Yourself.
Yes, you can fix your car yourself.
And I watched the first 10 lessons, so I think I know what I'm doing.
How many lessons are there?
450.
450? That'll take too long. If I fix your car, I'll have it running in 10 to 15 minutes. Where are your tools?
I have this. And this.
Great. I'll get my tools. I'll be back in a flash.
Back in a flash is an idiomatic expression. It means that a person will return very quickly. And let's listen again to the contractions Anna uses with the modal will.
450? That'll take too long. If I fix your car, I'll have it running in 10 to 15 minutes. Where are your tools?
Instead of saying that will, English speakers usually just connect these words together quickly with a contraction like this.
That'll take too long.
As we explained in another lesson of the day, we can contract or connect the modal will with any subject pronoun like I, we, they, or it. So instead of saying it will, we just say it'll, just like we contract that will to that'll.
And that reminds me of an American popular song from the 1950s.
It uses the contraction that'll in its title and lyrics.
Does it go like this?
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die.
Yes, it does go like that. And the name of the song is That'll Be the Day. Good job, Andrew.
Thank you. Remember, that'll just means that will.
Now, we'll listen to the end of Lesson 47 of Let's Learn English and see if we can find out what the problem is with Pete's car.
It's not starting! It's not starting!
What's wrong?
This car is stupid! Stupid! Stupid!
Pete, kicking the tires will not help.
Well, you did not help, Anna. You did not help!
Pete, pull yourself together, man! Give me the keys. I must feel the key in the ignition and turn it myself.
Use the key, Anna. Turn the key, Anna. What are you forgetting, Anna?
Pete!
What?
You are out of gas.
I can't be out of gas. I'm out of gas. Sorry, Anna. I'll go get some.
Pete, you relax. Clean your face. You can watch the rest of your online video course. It'll be faster if I go. In a flash. Till next time.
If you watch carefully here, you will see the master is someone you might know.
Anna says goodbye and leaves in a flash. And did you hear the contraction with the word it?
It'll be faster if I go.
And before we go, here's one more idiomatic expression from Lesson 47. Listen again to Anna.
Pete, pull yourself together, man. Give me the keys.
When we say pull yourself together, we mean that a person needs to have better control of his or her emotions.
Listeners, it'll also be helpful if you notice one more detail about pronunciation. When we contract the two words I will, it can sound like I'll. But when we speak really fast, it can change to something more like this, I'll. The pronunciation practice video in Lesson 47 explains this. Let's listen.
When Americans reduce the words I and will to make I'll, the short form sometimes sounds like all. Listen to Anna and Pete.
450? That'll take too long. If I fix your car, I'll have it running in 10 to 15 minutes. I'll get my tools. I'll be back in a flash.
I'm out of gas. Sorry, Anna. I'll go get some.
And that's also true of some dialects of American English. We'll be visiting Anna again soon in another lesson of the day. And it'll be great if you can join us.
And it'll be great if you can share the lesson of the day with your friends and family. Remember that you can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks for listening. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr.